Okay, we were discussing yesterday the topic of dreams, because our Gemara says over here that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw in a dream that his nephews were going to lose some money, and that money therefore wasn't really theirs, it was going to be lost anyway, so he thought it would be best to allocate it for tzedakah in order to make the most of these losses that were going to occur nonetheless. And he acted upon this dream that he saw, and he took the money for tzedakah, encouraged them to give tzedakah. So it sounds like from here that a dream is something that is actionable, or is something that we should take seriously. And we contrasted that with the Gemara in Masechtas Sanhedrin, and the Gemara in Masechtas Gittin, which tells us, when it comes to identifying which money belongs to Maaser Sheni, which money belongs to a father versus someone else, the Gemara says, or what to do with the money of the Yesoimim, should we sell it, should we preserve it? The Gemara says, "Divrei Chalom is l'man v'lo meridim." What you see in a dream is irrelevant. At the same time, there are certain dreams that we do take seriously when it comes to halacha. It sounds like right the whole putting the lulav and the esrog together was based on a dream. Other halachas that seem to be based on dreams, the Gemara says a dream is echem yishishim b'nevuah. It's 1/60th of nevuah. By the way, fantastic Gemara Makom. Look over here. The Gemara Brachos. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos the following thing: "Hi man, we all know this. We do it." But Haiman the Chaza Chama, person sees a dream, he doesn't know what he saw. Lekum Kami Kahani, he should come before the Kahanim, meaning at the time of Birchas Kahanim. Vine the Parsi Adayu, Valei Mahachi, Rebbeinu Shalom, Ani Shalach, V'chalam Misa, Chalam Isai Shalach, Chalam Chalamti, Vine Deo Mahu, right? The whole Rebbeinu Shalom that we say in Birchas Kahanim, Ani Yantiv. So the, why is that the appropriate time to mention bad dreams during Birchas Kahanim? So the Me'iri there is one shot, because he says it's, people are concentrating. So you might as well hop around when people are concentrating for other things that we need to take seriously. So we're focusing, so let's use it for Hatavas Chaloim. It sounds like it's more coincidental or tangential or a practical matter, not necessarily fundamental. However, in the Teres Chaim is a classical Achron in the last 200 years. On the Gemara, so in the Gemara himself is Bava Kama. What it is doing Bava Kama is not for now, but there in the Gemara Bava Kama, writes the Taras Chaim that the reason why we do this during Berachas Kainim is because Chalaim is Echem Yishishim B'Nevuah, 1/60th of Nevuah, and if it's a bad Chalaim, we want to be Movato it. So you need 60 times to be Movato it. Where do you have Nevuah? Right, it's 1/60th of Nevuah, so 1/60th of that is true. So we have to be Movato it B'Shishim. We're about to say how many words are in Berachas Kohanim. There's three blessings of Berachas Kohanim with 15 words, with a total of 60 letters. So we're trying to be Mavato, the Echem Yishishim B'Nevuah of the Chalaim, in the 60 letters of Berachas Kohanim. So that's what he says over here. Berachas Kohanim is also Nevuah. The Tam Ha'inyan Shachalaim Haram is Batal Mishapech L'Toyva B'Shas Berachas Kohanim Kishomi B'Nishalam Anishalach Nira L'Fi Shachalaim Hu Echem Yishishim B'Nevuah. Everything that's evil is batal b'shishim, and berachas kohanim, which is like nevuah, the kohen would go up and he would be paris as kapov, and the shechina would rest in his hands, and that's why you're not supposed to look at the hands of the kohanim, because the shechina is there. It's a bechina of nevuah, because they're speaking on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does a navi do, if you think about it? The navi is communicating a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam to all of Klal Yisrael. And what are the berachas kohanim doing? The Kainim are transmitting the bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam to the rest of the Jewish people. So in a certain sense, that's like Nevuah. Now, of course, they're not prophesying about anything that's going to happen. They're not being Megala Asidois and telling us the future or giving us messages about how we should live our life. But the very fact that they're the conduit for the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu renders them Nevi'im to a certain degree. So therefore, over here, since we're trying to be Mavato Chalom, which is Echo B'Shishim B'Nevuah, we're Mavato it in the Birchas Kainim, that's 1/60th. This has 60 letters. Fancy pshat. That's what he says over here. Anyway, so we saw yesterday that Chalaim is Echem Yishishim B'Nevuah. Sounds like it's something we should take seriously. The Gemara says, Niduhu B'Chalaim. If they put him into a Nidui in a Chalaim, we also have to take that seriously. And he requires 10 people to undo the Chalaim. So what's going on over here? At the same time, the Gemara says, right, any other Raya Balayo, Mashim Mahara Bayoim. Person only sees that night in his dream, whatever he's thinking about during the day. That's why maybe Our Gemara, we said yesterday, is talking about a dream that happened on Matzah Yom Kippur, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan Medaka took it seriously, because Matzah Yom Kippur probably was only thinking about Dvarim Shebekdusha. This must be, you know, a dream that's coming from Mokum Kodesh. But what's going on over here? Are dreams serious? Are dreams a waste of time? They differ chalom islamam v'lam eridin, showing from the Chumash and the whole story with the Yosef and the Sar Mashm, Sar Oifim. It sounds like dreams are pretty important. So how do we resolve all this? So we concluded, perhaps, that maybe it's because there's really two kinds of dreams. There is, as the Gemara says in Brochus, as the contradiction between two psukim, one pasuk and Sefer Yeshayahu, chaloymes hashavi daberu, chaloymes are always, you know, are speaking lies. At the same time, b'chaloyma daber boy, Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Nevi'im through a Mara Nevuah, through that occurs in the form of a dream. So the Tashbet, or some Yeshayim assume that there are two kinds of dreams, right? The Rabbeinu Bachya and Parashat Mikkes, the Bar Benon Parashat Mikkes, there's two kinds of dreams. So Tashbet writes over here, we don't know which kind of dream it is. Is it a dream that's comes from a shade? The Gemara says, in resolving that contradiction between the two psukim, that there's kanai de shade, kanai de malach. There's really two kinds of dreams. Some kamai de shade, some kamai de malach, meaning some are a waste of time. Some are serious. We don't know which kind of dream this is. So we have to treat every dream as a suffix. So then, therefore, when it comes to dina momentus in general, we say, you want to take someone else's money or transfer money to someone else. Dreams are not good enough. That's when we say, when it comes to Sveheta, when it comes to mitzvahs, we would apply, we would follow the dream, and we would take it more seriously. So that's what the Tashbeis, we read it over here. Over here, Oiz Beis in the Shifa today. There are some dreams that are righteous, that are no, legitimate. There are some that are a waste of time. We don't know what it is. We don't know which kind of dream this is. We should leave the money where it is. That's why the Gemara says, in that context, you want to take money that his father owned and say it belongs to Maaser Sheni, seeing it in a dream that his Maaser Sheni is not good enough. Therefore, if a person is a menuda in a chalom, we have to assume that, or at least a suffix, maybe it came from a malach, and therefore we have to take the dream seriously. The one outlier is our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about money, and yet he took the dream seriously. So that, I think that's why you have to say our dream was a special dream. It happened on Matzah Yom Kippur, and that's why Rashi added that nekuda. But so the mahalach that most of the Rishonim have is that there's two kinds of dreams, and since we don't know which kind it is, we have to be, you know, we have to be Mechush Lami Boy, like they say by Lashon Hara. You're not supposed to be Makabo Lashon Hara, but you have to consider it. You have to be afraid for it. So over here, you don't have to worry about Chaloyim. You don't have to, you know, we can't extract money based on a Chaloyim, but it is something you should be concerned about. You should be concerned about. However, Rav Tzadik quotes over here in the Tzidkas HaTzadik, something from the Ari HaKadosh. It's in the Likutei Torah and Parashas Vayeshev. It's a little bit harder to distill from the Ari HaKadosh and Parashas Vayeshev. So, but Rav Tzadik quotes it over here, and Oisvej gave all that. No, it's not that there's two kinds of dreams and we don't know what kind of dream it is. Every dream is a mixture. There's parts of the dream that are Al Yedei Malach. There's parts of the dream that are Al Yedei Shade. It's not that there's two separate kinds of dreams, two varieties, and we don't know which it is. They're all mixed up in one. And the Ari HaKadosh uses an interesting explanation, or offers an interesting explanation, be over here where he says, "Inin achaloi meichin de galus, abaseich meichin de katnas ayin sham." It's meichin de galus within the meichin de katnas, and Rav Tzadik offers a little bit more. V'chena din yoyemet shalhevel hey meichin de katn, the meichin de katnas. V'etz b'nei yisosh koach yesh shoyish b'tarz b'sav v'ena dimin harei meichin de galus ganas b'seich meichin de katnas. Meichin de galus is ganas b'seich meichin de katnas. Now those phrases typically mean, Meichan de Galus is when a person feels a Kadosh Baruch Hu in his life. He feels a Kirvas Elokim, like a mature person who recognizes what's going on, the reasons for things, and, you know, he's aware of all of his surroundings. That's Meichan de Galus. Meichan de Galus is when a person, Meichan is a thought process, so a person feels, can sense that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is part of his life. Meichan de Katnus is when a person feels distance from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when a person feels a little bit lost and detached, like a kid who goes through the motions but doesn't really understand everything that's taking place. That's Meichan de Katnas. We're here, we're doing what we're supposed to, but we don't really feel that Kirvas Elikim. So the Meichan de, a dream is Meichan de Galus b'seich Meichan de Katnas. So Rav Tzadik explains, there's a background within Rav Tzadik, So what this is referring to, and it's already a little bit in the Ariya Kaddish there, the Ariya Kaddish says the following. And this is where dreams come in the middle of sleep, is Meichan de Gadus, like Meichan de Karnus. The Ariya Kaddish explains that it's because when a person is sleeping, that is representative of Meichan de Katnos. A person is distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what sleep represents. A person is awake, right? Then he's higher functioning. That's like a person is in tune with Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Meichan de Gadlos. So sleep represents a person who's distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in life, that's the Ariya Kaddish. That's over there in Parashat Vayeshev. If you cook it up, I'm not adding much. However, here Rav Tzadik adds that you can't have all of life. You know, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world that we have to sleep? Everybody wonders this at some point. Some people wonder, why do we ever have to wake up? I mean, we just have more geschmack sleep all the time. But when you want to be productive in life, you wonder, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that I can't keep going at 12 o'clock? All of a sudden, you know, my brain shuts down or whatever it is. Why? Well, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create the world in this way? But this is the way that the world was created, is that we cannot stay up all the time. It's impossible. Already Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYosher laments that it's simply impossible for a person to stay awake all the time. We need to go to sleep because by going to sleep, we need to go to sleep in order to be up. But ironically, when a person goes to sleep, which you would think is being the least productive, that's what enables him to become more productive in the future. So ironically, the more a person sleeps, the less productive he is, that enables him to become more productive in the future and to achieve more. So the Shena is Meichan de Katnos. A person feels distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what sleep represents. When a person is awake, that's Meichan de Gadlos. That's when a person feels closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Tzadik takes that, this is like a foundational principle in the writings of Rav Tzadik and his philosophy. And that is that you need the Meichan de Katnos in order to achieve greater Meichan de Gadlos. Meaning we need those periods in life, like sleeping, that re-energizes us for the rest of the day. We need those periods of downtime in order to enable us to come back stronger and more energized religiously in the future. That's what the Gemara says over here in Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara is talking about the Simchas Beis Shoeva. So Tanya, Amar Reb Shua ben Chananya, Kishayinu Smeichem Simchas Beis Shoeva, Gover Inu Shena Beinenu. We were at the Simchas Beis Shoeva, no one ever slept. No one ever slept. So the Gemara asked, what are you being ridiculous? What do you mean no one slept? The Simchas Beis Shoeva. That was 7 days long, Simchas Beis Shoeva. No one slept. V'amar Rabbi Yechman, Shvua Shalaish and Shleisha Yom. A person takes a Shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Malkanoi say, Yosh on the altar. It's impossible to go 3 days without sleeping. It doesn't mean we didn't doze. We didn't really sleep. Why not? To have him akasvi dodada. We dozed on each other's shoulder. Okay, that's fine. That's what the Gemara means. They didn't sleep because they were partying all day at the Simchas Beis Shoeva. They didn't even go home. I assume that they changed their clothes, right? But they didn't even go home, coast to coast, I guess, right? They didn't even go home to change their clothes, but whatever it is, they fell asleep on each other's shoulder. This is a fantastic verse from the Yid HaKadosh. It's found in a sefer called Teres Yehudi HaKadosh. You can see it. It's there. The famous verse from the Yid HaKadosh. So what this means is that during Simchas Beis Shoeva, they didn't have a down period in their Avodas Hashem. They didn't have a Yerida. They didn't have, in the Sfarim they call Meichan de Katnos. They never felt distant from the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Kaddish Baruch Hu was a constant presence in their life. They always felt connected, plugged in for 7 days. Says the Gemara, that's impossible. It's impossible for a person to feel plugged in, connected, functioning in that high madrega Meichan de Gadlos, the feeling Kaddish Baruch Hu was a part of his life for 7 days. It's simply impossible. It's not possible. And it has to be that way. It's better that way. Because that way, when a person, sleeps, comes back re-energized, comes back stronger. So it's not possible. So Mar says, there is a way. How can you be plugged in all the time? If you have your chevra pick you up, if you're part of a chevra, so then, even if I'm experiencing a down period, my friends pick me up, they slept on each other's shoulders. Ah, so when this guy needed to sleep, this guy picked him up. When this guy was on his, having his little bit of a difficulty, then the chevra picked him up again. So then you can be plugged in for a longer period of time. Yes, individually it's impossible. But the Simchas Beis Shoeva, no one slept because they were picking each other up the whole time. Oh, that's the Yid HaKadosh. There's a story that goes together with that, Maisa. That once the Yid HaKadosh, when he was learning, Peshischa was learning the Aleph Beis. So the Rebbe taught him, when you have two yuds next to each other, right? That's a Shem Hashem. Fine. So he was reading a pasuk. He got to the end. At the end of a pasuk, there's two dots, right? So he said, it looks like two yuds. So he read it, Shem Hashem. Yeah, he got the two dots. He read it, Shem Hashem. So Malamed slapped him. He said, you said two yuds. It's a Shem Hashem. He said, no. It looks like two yuds. I guess it's two dots. I don't know what their yuds look like. If our yud has a little bit of a kutzusho yud on the bottom. But so he said, no. Two Jews, two yidden, two yuds. One on top of the other. If one has to be better than the other, but they're functioning independently, that's a soif pasuk. That's the end of Kedusha. When everyone's fighting, when everyone's competing, soif Kedusha. That's the end of the pasuk. Two yuds, two Jews, next to each other, two yidden next to each other, working together in harmony, each one supporting the other, that's the source of Kedusha. That's a Shem Hashem. Oh, fantastic one. That's the vardo here from the Yidden HaKodesh. It's impossible for a person to go 3 days without sleeping, meaning that's part of life. It's part of life that you have those times when a person feels this. And yeah, Ashi?
Do you know where it is in the Sefer?
In the Yidden HaKodesh?
Like, are those the two red volumes? Like the small
volumes? It's there. I'll show you. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, anyway. So it says of Tzaddik over here that you need to have these down periods of time because that's how a person comes to a greater aliyah. So says of Tzaddik over here in the Koyim Tzamincha that that's the meaning that the dream of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was on his way into Golos and Parshas Chayetze. He stops. He has a dream about a sulam mutzavar to version Magia Shamayim Malachi Elokim Olim VeYardim. The Malachim are going up and down, and there's many explanations of what the Malachim are doing, going up and down. But he explains over here that it's by one of the perhaps meanings and significance of this imagery is that the Malachim are going up and down, teaching us that sometimes you have to go down. Even the Malachim can't stay in Shamayim constantly. They have to go down. Yaakov Avinu was about to go into Golos. Golos is a little bit of a Meichen de Katnus. So he was going down. Don't think that going down into Golos, is the end of the road, because it's through going into Golos you'll be able to come back stronger and re-energized, more powerful. Later on in the future, you'll be plugged in even more. And that's what the Malachim were demonstrating. So he says over here, V'nesu mutzav aretz v'ushleves ha-madregas v'avedas Hashem yizbarach mitohoim arad reymer kiyo malachim shulchei leikim heima tzadikim v'yardim kiyadua. They go down too. She efshir la'aliyah yoyse g'day v'bli yoridim mikaydim. You cannot remain constantly on that plateau and continue to go up. There is inevitably a period when a person has to feel less connected in order to feel more connected in the future. So he writes in the pre-tzadik, that's the meaning of the pasuk in Parashat Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu says it's come to the end of his life. Lo uchal oy lo tzeisuv lo avoy. I can't come and go any longer. What do you mean, I can't come and go? Duchol shelo yuchal oy lo tzeis. If the person cannot fall down, meaning he cannot feel disconnected, he cannot be more connected. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm done, meaning he's so connected, there's no more down periods. If there's no more down periods, there's no more aliyahs either. Meaning without that, you can't go any further. So since I can't leave, I can't come either. You can't enter either unless a person leaves first. So the ability to go up is dependent on a person's ability, to feel disconnected. But the Meichen de Katnos is necessary for the Meichen de Galus. And where did this all come from? It goes all the way back to Bria's Olam. That's what Rav Tzaddik writes over here in the Mishisei Laila, a famous passage in Rav Tzaddik and Mishisei Laila. Accompanying the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Chassidus Shetzvarim love this Gemara. The Gemara there asks, why is it that the black sheep always go out before the white sheep or whatever? So Gemara says it goes all the way back to Bria's Olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created darkness first. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light. The Jewish day begins, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker. Begins at night, and then comes light. Then comes the illumination after the darkness. And that's the way humans have to function too in our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that there first has to be darkness in order for there to be light. Bereisha Chashoicha V'hoder Nahira. First has to be darkness, then light. Kachu B'chol Yimayis Ha'olam. Says Rav Tzaddik. Rav Tzaddik reads this into history. Oh my goodness, this is, it's in a unique world, and when he starts talking this way, Rav Tzaddik says that you have to read this into history. Look at Jewish history. He says, first we had Golos. There's always, before a Geula, there's always a Golos. Obviously, you can't have redemption without bondage. But the Golos that always precedes a Geula is from the same form as the Geula, meaning there's always a darkness prior to a a period of enlightenment before a great thing that the Jewish people are able to accomplish. There is no great thing, then greater thing, then greatest thing. It doesn't work that way. There's always down and then up. It's always like that, that kind of a flow chart, that kind of a series. So he says, before, the Kabbalah Satorah, which was a unique aliyah, we had to have a Golos of Mitzrayim. Before building the Mishkan, there had to be a Chet HaEgel. Before entering Eretz Yisrael, there had to be a Chet HaMeraglim. That process is important. He goes further elsewhere in the Kutei Amarim, and he says that that's why in the Gemara we record the Havamina. You ever wonder, right, the Rambam excluded all the Havaminas. The Rambam, right, just focused on what's Halacha L'maisa, and that's what's in the Mishnah Torah. But the Rambam cut out all the Havaminas. The Rambam actually thought that his Sefer would be a compendium, it would be a second volume. You'd have Tanakh, and then the Rambam, and that would be it. That's what he called the Mishnah Torah, the second book. He put a bays on it, Tanakh Aleph, Mishnah Torah bays. He thought he was minimizing confusion. All the Rambam did, though, by printing the Mishnah Torah, was maximize confusion. The Rambam became a springboard for Yeshiva Shatera. That's it. That's what the Rambam is good for. But he did not become the final last word in Halacha. I always say it's ironic. The Rambam thought in Halacha was becoming the last word. The Mar Nevuchim, the Rambam never imagined, or in his comments about Hashkafa and Jewish theology, the Rambam never thought he would be the last word. He never composed a, even though there are Chovas Halavolos, there are obligations of the heart, the Rambam never attempted to formalize that in any kind of system. Yet, ironically, the Rambam became the last word in Jewish theology. Yugim Malikri Amun are pretty ironclad. It's almost unacceptable to disagree with the Rambam's Yugim Malikri Amunah. So in the area where the Rambam didn't have as big ambitions, he became the last word. Whereas in Halacha, if anything, all the Rambam did was continue the cycle even further and give us more room for Yeshiva Shatayra. But the Havamina is in the Gemara. Why is the Havamina in the Gemara if it's proven wrong? The answer is because sometimes from the Havamina comes the Maskana, meaning you can't understand the Maskana, you can't appreciate the Maskana, you can't get to the Maskana. Why is a person first has a Havamina? So if Tzadik writes that that's what the Gemara means in Masech Leskin, I'm sure you've heard of it before, then Ein Adam Oimid Al Divrei Torah Olam Kein Nichshaba. A person doesn't, can't get Halacha right unless you first made a mistake in that area. I know it's true. It's true in every area of life.
So why do we, when you go into the Beis Medrash, you say, you want to go in there, you don't want to be embarrassed.
Make a mistake.
So the point of it is that we need to get it wrong, and how does that...
You hope you don't get it wrong again. I always say, I make mistakes. I hope not to make the same mistake twice. In shuls, in running a shul, I've made many mistakes. I try to learn from those mistakes and not to make the same mistake twice. You can make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. The avoda is not to make the same mistake again. And to understand things, that's more about having to do with understanding things, not life experience. Ein adam chacha, ein adam chacham kabal nisayon. You're not a wise person unless you've experienced things. If a person never experienced anything, you can't have wisdom. Wisdom comes from experience. So, but we hope to understand things properly the first time, not to make silly mistakes and misinterpreting words and lines. That you need to see out through the Shemaya, though. But you don't really have an appreciation for an area of halacha until you've engaged in it and perhaps stumbled or made a mistake, and now you appreciate it even more. But that's more of a rational approach. Rav Tzadik is taking it a little bit even deeper, and he's saying that a person can't really have, achieve greater heights unless he first, stumbled in that area. So it's the Meichin de Katnos that leads to a greater Meichin de Galos, and that's what a dream represents. What is a dream? A dream is Meich, as the Ari HaKadosh said, he quotes it back over there in his Gimel, is Meichin de Galos misoich betoich Meichin de Katnos. Meaning, when a person is asleep, that's Meichin de Katnos. He's detached. He's not in tune. He's not in sync with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But it's dafka in the sleep that you dream. Because what's the message of the dream? The message of the dream is that the detached times, the times that you feel distant from the Kaddish Baruch Hu, is only to lead you to a greater aliyah. So the dream comes when you're sleeping. The Echem Yishishim Menavuah comes when you're sleeping to teach you that the Meichin de Katnus is not the end of the road. The Meichin de Katnus is not, It isn't worth being upset about it, because that itself leads to greater growth. And what's the simen for it? Where does that show? How does that demonstrate it? Through the dream. So the dream comes within the Meichin de Katnus to teach us that the purpose of sleeping, the purpose of being detached sometimes, the purpose of feeling, that you're just going through the motions, you're not connected, that itself leads a person to greater connection in the future. And that is symbolized by the dream. That's what Meichen de Gadlus, Betoich Meichen de Katnus is coming to teach us. Oh. So it's really all mixed up in one. So that's why it's hard to know what the dream is. That's what a explanation for the dream is. Right? A Pisroin Chaloimoi. Yosef had to interpret the dreams. Why do you have to interpret the dreams? Because it's all mixed up. There's Meichen de Gadlus, Betoich Meichen de Katnus. So we don't know which is which. So the purpose of interpreting the dream is sifting, is figuring out which part is Meichen de Gadlus and which part is Meichen de Katnus, meaning which part is true, which part is sheker. So that's, a dream is all mixed up in one. It's all the same. Not that there's two kinds of dreams. We don't know which it is. It's a suffix. It's all mixed up in one. There's a little bit, like the Gemara is an example of the kernel of grain. Kernel of grain always comes wrapped in a shell. So it's a shell, there's a grain. We don't know which is the grain. We don't know which is the shell. That's what the explanation of the dream comes to accomplish. But it's really all part of the same picture. All right, Rabbi, so we understand? Fantastic different explanations about what dreams are all about. So we had a few. Maybe there's two kinds of dreams. Maybe the dreams are all mixed up, one and the other. Yeah.
Can we also potentially say that if we go according to the Gemara that says that your dreams reflect your thoughts during
nope.
the day, then really the whole point of dreams is maybe to give you at that time of welcome to the continents to give you clarity of what you're thinking about during the day, and it helps you reset. Because if you're saying
it's important that helps you reframe what you saw.
If we have to go through that Gemara that says that it really reflects what you're doing, then if you're having a bad dream or something like that, clearly it's because it's reflecting your it's a shimmy day. It's not a full thing.
You're saying it has to be related to what you saw during the day. Because it's coming.
If we go according to that Gemara that says that's what you're doing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I hear you. Okay, very nice, Eitan. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. Where are we? Rapapa Avisog Bedarga. He's going up a ladder. Ishtamit Karye. The leg of the ladder came out. Boy Lomepo. He was about to fall. Amar Hashta Kane Echayv. Must be that he was Chayv. Man the son of Kimchal Shabbos Kerv de Kerchavim. See, why am I Chayv Miso? Like those are Machal Shabbos Kerv. They by the Kerchavim. Why Chia Bar Rav Midifta Rapapa Shema Ani? But what he asked? Why did this happen to me? I almost became Chayv Misa, because he saw his Rav Chia bar Rav Midifti. He said, Rav Papa, Shema Ani Bamu Yadcha, Lo Parnasasai. He didn't support him. The sign of Shuv Ben Karchayim, Er Kohab Malim Eino Min Atzdaka, whoever ignores an opportunity for Tzdaka, Ki Lo Evid Avay Dizka Chavim. As if he's worshiping Avay Dizka Chavim, Ksiv Halcha, Yisham Elcha Penya Adavar, Im Levavcha Bilyav, Ksiv Hasim Yatsu Anashim Beni Bilyav, Malahon Avay Dizka Chavim, Afkan Avay Dizka Chavim. So a person who averts his eye, an opportunity to give tzedakah was like avedus kechavim, and therefore maybe perhaps he was chayv miso. I can avedus avedus kechavim. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, gadol tzedakah shem karevus as a geula. Tzedakah so great it brings close to geula. Neamar komar Hashem shimu mishpat asu tzedakah ki kreiva Yeshua sila vavit sikasil legalois from the aftira of Tainus. Hoi Omer, asar dvarim kashim nivru ba'olam har kasha barzel mechat ko barzel kasha Omer fapa or kasha mayim mechabenoi se mayim. Kashim avim soivim osoy avim kashim ruach mefarzasim ruach kashim. So it's the 10 things that are difficult, that are created in the world. One of them, of course, the most difficult is umisa kashim ikulam. Misa is the most difficult. Utsedaka matzelus min amisa the siv utsedaka tatsim imavis. The pasuk says tzedaka saves a person from misa. So of all the difficulties of life that a person could encounter, of which there are 10, tzedakah, the worst, of course, is Misa. Tzedakah has the ability to overturn that, so you see how powerful tzedakah is. Why is it, by the way, that it's like a person who averts his eyes from tzedakah is like a bit of a desire? So I think that goes back to the yisai that we had, that a person is given money to distribute for tzedakah as a shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if he fails to recognize that, he's denying the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam to a certain extent. That's why it's a bit of a desire. Darshav Dustai Yanai. And why, by the way, is the stuck atatsumi maves? The answer is also because if a person demonstrates that he's a shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he has a purpose in this world, and therefore, that justifies his existence. Darsh Rav Dustai Brebianai, Barbarash, Loka Midas Kadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam, Midas Basav Adam, other maybe Darn Gadol Melech, Safim Kamalos, Haymen, Safim Kamalos, so you bring a present to the king. You don't know if he's going to accept it from you. You don't know if he's not going to accept it. Maybe you just leave it on the table. You don't get to see the king. Maybe you do. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not so Adam Noisim Prut of Ani Zaych Mekabel Pnei Ashkena. Whoever gives a Prut to the Ani greets a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Ani Bitzedek Echazeh Panecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees us, he greets us in righteousness. Meaning, if we give tzedakah, then we'll be able to be zaycha to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Elazar, you have pruta la'ani v'hadar masli. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar would give a pruta, he would give tzedakah, and then daven. Amar d'asiv, ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. Ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. So it's an Indian, to give tzedakah before you daven. Before you daven means before Shemoneh Esrei. Maybe before you walk into shul. Some had the minute to give, the Kaf HaChaim called the minute to give tzedakah before you walk into shul. When you walk into shul, to give tzedakah. That's nice. However, the Elia Rabbah, look, this appears in Hilchas Tzedakah over here in some arrangement test if you doubt it. But look at the other side of the sheet. That's why there's pushkas in shul. It's not to collect for the shul. It's for aniyim. She gives to the aniyim before you daven ani b'tzedek echazeh ponecha. Pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. Says over here the Elia Rabbah that the minig is dafka to give in the name of the Ariya Kaddish in the Pri Eitz Chaim. And he needs to give dafka by Vayivarach David. Dafka by Vayivarach David. So I told you, Rav Schechter has it's in his Sefer Mipnei Arav in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Says that that's why we stand for Vayivarach David, that the Ramah quotes a minig over here, Simon and Alphas of Zion. Nagu lamod kishayimim Vayivarach David, Baruch Shem, Vayivarach David, Yishtabach. Why do we stand by Vayivarach David? Because that was the time that they had a custom of giving tzedakah. So what? Why is that a reason to stand? So Mishnah says, Mesechtas Bikurim, whenever one is coming over here, Oisiyod, Paragimah, Mishnah Gimah, whenever one is on his way to do a mitzvah, it's an Indian dafka to stand. We said that's why people stand for the Chasan and Kawa. Some people think you stand for the Chasan and Kawa because they're Doim Elamelech. Yishalmi Bikurim, that a Chasan Doim Elamelech. Chasan Doim Elamelech is relevant for certain halachas. He doesn't walk around with a crown. You shouldn't think that he's... he's greater than anybody, but he's Doim HaMelech in certain respects. He shouldn't walk alone. He should always have a shomer. But even though people have a shomer the day of the wedding, it's really the fact he shouldn't walk alone is really. I'm not saying he shouldn't do it, but there's no reason for that because of Chasan Doim HaMelech. Chasan is Doim HaMelech after the wedding, not but prior to the wedding. So the Sheva Brachas, he shouldn't be walking around. He should always be with his wife. That's when Chasan Doim HaMelech. So you should have someone who's accompanying him, other halachas. But that's only after the wedding. So why are we standing for the chasan and kala on their way down to the chuppah? So here, if Salvechik explained that it's because they're on their way to do a mitzvah. The Mishnah says, Mesechtas Bikurim over here. V'chol ba'li umnesh b'Yushalayim ha'imdim mufneim. Those who are working in Yushalayim, in their little shops, would stand up for those who were maybe the Bikurim. V'shalim b'shalimam. They would ask, how are you guys doing? Anshe amok complaini basim l'shalom. I hope you got here okay. So the bartenuer there explains, even though these bali umiyas, the guys who are working in little shops, we could appreciate this, right? We've all walked through the old city. There's these little shops over there. So the bali umiyas used to stand from their little kiosks over there. So why? They don't stand for Talmid Chachamim. If they were stand for Talmid Chachamim, they'd be up standing up and down the whole day and they're busy working. So they don't have to stand up when they're doing the malacha. It's not nice. They're working for the balabos. It's important to stand up for those who are doing a mitzvah at the time they're doing a mitzvah. That's why you stand at a funeral. Otherwise, we shouldn't go to funerals. But you ever notice, we all stand when they bring in the mace. Why are we standing? Will the congregation please rise? Why are we standing? The answer is you stand for those who are carrying the mace. It's an Indian dab. Now they wheel sometimes the mace in on a tray or whatever. But those who are pushing the mace, those who are doing the mitzvah, halavaya sam mace, we stand up for them. Because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, even though it's a sad mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. When they bring a baby in for bris milah, the minig is everyone stands for bris milah. It used to be, by the way, there are some who are makbid, svarim are makbid like this, to stand at the whole time of a wedding. Sephardish weddings in Eretz Israel, everyone stands at weddings. If you've ever been to an Israeli wedding, it's only in America people sit by weddings. But at Jacob's wedding, I was standing with Rabbi Shabtai. You know Rabbi Shabtai, who's the BRS staff. It's a close friend of mine, Chashev Yid, and doctor. So I said to him, "We were at your wedding." So I said, "Oh, sit down." I think we were schmoozing. about all of his projects. He's fantastic. So this was about different inyanim and medical ethics and whatever. So I said, well, let's sit down and talk. He's like, no, I stand by weddings. He's a Sephardi. So he stood the whole time through all the speeches and everything. So he stood, he stood the whole time. So I stood with him also. So we were standing and talking the whole time. But anyway, there's a minig to stand. Minig to stand after. But we don't have that minig. But nonetheless, we stand for the chasen and kala. We stand by a bris milah. We stand by a funeral. What are we standing for? For those who are on their way to do a mitzvah. So too, Rav Shechta said, over in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, that's why we have a minig to stand by Vayivarech David, because we're standing for the people who are collecting the tzedakah. That's why we're standing. Beautiful vart. They're going to collect tzedakah. Why do we collect tzedakah then, Vayivarech David? Because the Ariya Kaddish writes in the Shar, Priyetz Chaim, that it's a good time to give tzedakah. Since we're giving tzedakah, we stand for those who are going to collect tzedakah. But that would mean that the minig to collect tzedakah predated the minig to stand, right? If we're standing for those who are collecting tzedakah, that must mean what came first? Collecting tzedakah. Then we started standing. The problem is, if you look up the Priyetz Chaim, I just saw a shachar upstairs in the coffee room. So I told him, I showed him the Priyetz Chaim. Priyetz Chaim, if you look up the source in the Ariya Kodesh, says like this. He said, that's the reason you should give tzedakah during Vayivarech David is because everyone's standing already. Therefore, it's an appropriate time to give tzedakah. So he writes over here, Umnam Hayinoi, I guess a little bit is beyond our pay grade, but he says, Umnam Hayinoi Meri, that's the Ariya Kodesh, because all of this was written by Rav Chaim Vital. We tain tzedakah ata ba'im rav'ata ma'ishu ba'kov. We say, right, ha'ishu ba'kov milfanecha. So it's talking about riches, it's talking about wealth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls all of it, and he tells us what to do with it. Tzedakah is a mitzvah. You should do the mitzvah when you're standing. Meaning they were standing already by Vayivarech David, and that's why he said to give tzedakah then. Gam tamacher, another reason to give tzedakah while you're standing. The ani is an opportunity, right? So the ani is there to be mezaka us. The ani is like the shechinah. The shechinah came down to the earth, and it's our job to lift it back up. When Kadosh Baruch Hu comes here, we have to elevate him back to Shemayim. So the ani represents the shechinah. It's our job to lift up the ani back to Shemayim. So that's why we give tzedakah dafka when we're standing. So the Ariya Kodesh says the reason that we give tzedakah during Vayivarech David is because we were already standing. That's why. And the whole mitzvah of tzedakah is to lift up the ani, to lift up the shechina, to recognize, you know, that we're shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Ayideh tzedakah. Oh. So if that's the case, it sounds like the fact that we were standing predates the custom of giving tzedakah. You can't say then that we stand up during Vayivarech David because after the minute to give tzedakah. The only reason the Ariya Kodesh said to give tzedakah then is because the people were already standing. Oh, so it's a little bit backwards. Chaver, you hear? Rav Shechta is maskim. A little bit backwards. Anyway, so there's an Indian davka to give Vayivarech David. You can really give before you walk into shul, but there's an Indian to give tzedakah before davening. But tzedek echzeh panecha, yeah?
Our giving, we're giving to a pushka in shuls.
Yeah. It's giving tzedakah, What if people are mistaivev? What about those who are circulating during davening? I don't know if you daven in one of those shuls, but what about that? So it says in the Mishnah Brura, there are some places they used to collect tzedakah during Kriyas HaTorah. Over here in the Derech Hamuna, this is Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his comments about Nesraniyim. He quotes over here from the Mishnah Brura. We have the minute to give Va'ishiv HaKol Milvanech V'Ata Moshiv HaKol. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Yosh and he told us what to do with it. That's when we give tzedakah. V'yesh Mekom Shenogin HaKabit Tzedakah Be'ez Kriyas HaTorah V'Hu Shaloi Kahagin. He's quoting here from the Mishnah Berurah. There are those that are the minig to give tzedakah during Kriyas HaTorah. That's wrong. You should pay attention during Kriyas HaTorah. During Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to give during Kriyas Shema. You're not allowed to make winks or, you know, gestures during Kriyas Shema that have nothing to do with the Kriyas Shema. It's a hefsik. So you have tzedakah focus on Kriyas Shema. You shouldn't be giving tzedakah. So after Baruch Hu, they really should clear out those who are circulating. They shouldn't. Most of them know. Most Bnei Torah at least know enough not to circulate them. Then Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings up another issue. Maybe you're not really obligated to give tzedakah to anyone who circulates during davening. I don't tell this to the Mishulachim, but v'efshe de'ein chayav v'litein lahem da'oisik b'mitzah patum b'mitzah. I'm in the middle of davening now. Whenever one is in the middle of one mitzvah, you're parted from another mitzvah, including tzedakah, right? The Gemara says that a person who's in the middle of doing Hashavas Aveda is parted from giving tzedakah. That's why every Shomer Aveda is considered to be a Shomer Sachar. Why is he a Shomer Sachar? Who's paying him? So the Gemara says, quote the name of Rabbi Yosef, it's called Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. It's the fact no one's paying him, but he's parted from giving tzedakah. So he receives payment in the form that he gets to be exempt from tzedakah, and he gets extra money as a result of that. So the proof of the Rav Yosef is that every Shomer Aveda is part of him giving tzedakah, because Yosef is a part of him. Mitzvah Soto Yochanan Kanievsky says, when you're in the middle of davening, and someone is being mistoivev, someone is circulating to collect tzedakah, maybe you're really part of him, because Yosef is a part of him. That doesn't mean if you can do both, you shouldn't do both, right? Just because we can read and write, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. So if you can do both, it's not going to disturb your kavanah. Adrabah, might help your kavanah to give during Vayivar David. It's a good thing. But davka during Kriya Shema, Kriya Satora, these times are not the time to go around collecting stuff. Sometimes you see that during Kriya Satora, you have a little kid goes around to push. It's not the right time.
Is there any difference that if, like, let's say you know every single day when you move in, like during Kuzar Shots, like people come around to collect?
Yeah.
You just like leave it by your seat for them to pick up. Is there any difference in the mix for that?